This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. Today's episode, we'll be discussing divorce, blended families, and holidays.
That's a lot.
It is.
That's a lot of things. We've touched on a few of these subjects already, kind of individually. We talked about teenagers and the holidays in episode 51. We talked about divorce and teenagers in episode 26, and then teenagers and blended families in episode 32. But because it's the holidays, there are some wonderful, joyful moments in the holidays, and there are some years that the holidays can be really tough. And we know that it may be your first holiday or your first season as a divorcee, or maybe your first season in a separation where your kids might be going to be with your ex or soon to be ex. So we wanted to address some issues that might be coming up as the holidays approach to make sure that you're well equipped to handle things that involve teenagers and divorce.
Yeah.
Well, to divide this up and make it simpler to understand, Dr. Ken, let's first talk about single parents. So this is after the divorce, and we're talking about single parents raising teenagers, and the holidays are coming up.
Yeah.
What are some struggles that you see, or some things that you see that can kind of be hard during this time of year?
Well, you know, divorce is like grieving. You know, when you've lost someone, the first Christmas after they've died, the first, all these events, and it's not that much different when a marriage has died. So when you come across especially meaningful things like holidays, you'll find yourself kind of revisiting some of that hurt. It's very rife with anger. And, you know, you got to remember your children particularly, but teenagers also, they don't really know fully how to react to all this. It's a very different experience for them than it is for you. So you want to kind of be able to think about how you are managing this grieving in front of your teenagers, and talking with them about some of it is good, but it is easy to overtalk about some of this because your experience of the struggle and how much, you know, I hate your mom is not really going to be very helpful to talk to your teenagers about. So it's kind of like grieving, and you want to think about how you're almost like how you're, if you're single, how you're presenting yourself in front of teenagers has to do a lot with how do they see whether you're going to be handling this, how needy you are. You want to signal to them that I don't actually need you to worry about me. This is especially on the years when, you know, that's almost always you go back and forth, right? You've got Christmas last year, but this year I don't have them. So for the single parent, a lot, it's more signaling, how is this going to be if you're there and they're not there? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. I think, you know, I had a divorce, but my kids were little when it happened. And I think it's easier to mask your own struggle or your own hurt or your own hardship when they're littler. Versus when they're teenagers, you can't quite get away with things when they're teenagers because they see more than you think they do, and they understand more than you might want them to. So I do think that's important when you're talking about teenagers, you're parenting teenagers through the holidays and you're a single parent.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So for example, it's not surprising that I would say that if you're a single parent and this is the holiday where they're not with you, it wouldn't surprise you for me to say that you should take care of yourself as far as making your own plans. It is not at all good for you to sit and watch, you know, Holiday Inn or, you know, White Christmas over and over again on a lonely Christmas. But I'll add to that, it is not good for your teenagers for you to do that. So it is actually better for you to be creative and plan a thing. Believe it or not, it's not going to hurt a teenager's feeling if you're like, when do you go to your dad's? Because I'm leaving for Mexico the next day. I can't wait. So it's going to be great. Have a great Christmas. That sounds like, oh, aren't they going to feel unloved? No, that's your 8-year-old. I wouldn't do that with your 8-year-old per se. But teenagers, yeah. It's, you know what I mean? So it's not only taking care of yourself, it's realistically caring for yourself in a way that signals to your teenagers, trust me, you don't need to worry. I'm going to be okay without you this season. Now, you don't have to make stuff up. You know, it's mm-hmm. still, you can tell them, yeah, it's sad. I'll miss you, of course. But this is what I'm going to be doing. So virtually mm-hmm. always, you need to have a fairly decent plan of what are you doing over the holiday while they're gone so that teenagers are assured that you are, in fact, you know, doing okay without them. Does that sound unkind mm-hmm. or no. unloving?
I think it's wise. I remember the very first Christmas that I didn't have my kids and I had made plans, but then at the last minute, I tried to back out of them because the emotions, you know, like this exactly. isn't right. We're supposed to be doing X, Y, Z and my kids aren't here. I'm just going to cancel everything. And I reached out to my friend and I was like, hey, you know, on second thought, I'm not going to come. I'm going to stay home. And she was so good to be persistent and saying, no, you're not. And she's like, and I'm on my way to come get you.
That's a good friend.
That's what I needed. And, yes. And then from then on, I really realized I need to be proactive in staying busy during these holidays when my kids are gone. And so then I started volunteering for church because I knew that excuse me. I knew that I was free that time. I had the time available to serve more. And so then I would sign up and then my kids would be like, what are you going to do? You know? And I said, oh, you know, I'm going to be available for all three services to serve at church. And so I'm going to pass out cookies or I'm going to help take pictures. And
see,
I think
that's a great idea.
I think it was good for both of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's an excellent idea that it's more than just making sure that I'm not sitting and being sad. It's also that, you know, there are other people in need and it is always good for us to involve ourselves, especially in the church body to, you know, in serving other people. So yeah, that's a really good point. And ironically, a lot of times Christmas means for a single parent, especially early on, if you're still younger, maybe going back to your own parents' house or that kind of thing, which mm-hmm. kicks up some of the stuff that made you know, I can't wait to get married and get out of here in the first place. So, you know, it doesn't always mean going back to your parents' house. You have to kind of renegotiate. What am I now? Obviously mm-hmm. respecting your family, but sometimes it can add to it that, oh, great. I don't want to go back to my mom's house for Christmas. So, you know, it's, but again, the key is taking care of yourself and making sure your teenagers particularly see that you're doing okay. And especially I like what you said, Ashley, about part of that is that, look, I've got people that I'm helping with them and taking care of mm-hmm. them. And that's great. I think that's perfect, but it's good for your teenagers to see that.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's because good otherwise to model. They worry mm-hmm. about, you know, mom or dad who's at home alone
right.
this year.
Not that mm-hmm. they're going to say it,
right.
Especially your mm-hmm. boys, but they kind of do more than you mm-hmm. think. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
It's good to model for our kids too, that healing doesn't happen in isolation. It happens in community, you know, and having a group of friends or maybe your family around you at hard times is going to help with your healing and you getting past this divorce, this situation. So,
and holidays, this is a general thing, but I'll remind everyone, it's also important that you're going to be, when your kids are with that ex, hostility is just super high there. So short of overt abuse, it's more likely that, you know, they're just going to that mom who just is smothering and whatever, or that dad who doesn't really even care. Do your best. You're talking about their other arm, their left and right arm. Do not, imply with so is your dad going to even put a tree up? Or, you know, I bet your mom's going to be all about, you know, whatever. That is harming them. That's a general mm-hmm. rule. But at holidays, be particularly careful that, especially with teenagers, because that instinct of, well, I need to kind of know what's going on and maybe speak up to my ex, that's actually disrespectful to teenagers. Short of overt abuse, they must be developing their own voice. Mom, I hate when he does such and such. Did you talk to him? You need to talk to him. Oh, he doesn't listen to me. That's something you're going to have to deal with, that kind of thing. You know, sometimes it's usually moms they talk to, but sometimes it's a dad. Like dad, she just, well, you need to speak to her. I get it. And don't blend it with, I know, I couldn't talk to her either. You're not her, you know, you were never her child. You're her spouse. So that whole investigating and worrying about how that holiday is going to go for them is, it can be actually patronizing to young adults. So definitely try to back away from that. This is their other parent. They're old enough to develop how they're going to talk and deal with these things themselves.
That kind of leads me to my next question. So what if the other parent has really different ideas or has really different ability to gift the kids things? Maybe, you know, you're living very meagerly right now and your ex is able to provide brand new everything, brand new iPhones, brand new car, whatever, you know. How do you deal with that at the holidays? Especially there's kind of this, you know, really obvious mom's house is really meager, dad's house is really lavish, kind of
happens a lot. Yeah. Disney dad
side by side. Yeah. So how do you handle that? How do you handle that situation where where it could be the traditions are really extreme or the traveling is really extreme and you're not able to provide that?
Well, the first thing is to remember that, again, they are talking about their left hand and their right hand. This is their parents. Mm-hmm. So commonly when the other parent is sort of doing better than you are, like, you know, showing off or whatever, I would be very careful that does not mean that your kid is implying, hey, how come you just gave me a shirt and I got a new iPhone unless they say, wow, you have really screwed up. I got much better stuff at my other parents. Don't assume that that's what they're saying. So you really want to try to be, oh, that's cool. Is that the new one? Awesome. That is so great. That's just what you wanted. Good for you. And swallow your, oh my goodness, he told me he wouldn't do it. Or she always does that. Don't go there. This is their parents. Mm-hmm. But if they directly do, in fact, say, you know, complain that, you know, I don't even like when we do presents over at your house, because at mom's or at dad's, we always, ironically, I think a lot of parents give that too much weight. The first response is, dude, you don't even know what you're talking about. To actually defend yourself with, you know, well, I do the this and that, you know, teenagers may look big, but they don't actually have a spreadsheet upstairs that they've been going through and they realize that you're not. And so I wouldn't answer that. It's just, well, you know, I think it's great that your mom's able to do, or your dad's able to do that. But dude, you know, I give you what I can, and it really hurts that you would talk about that. I think it's rare that a kid goes directly to that. And mm-hmm. if they do, you're probably looking at signs of entitlement have in different conversations implied that, hey, I should probably defend myself to you. I probably should answer your criticisms. Just remember, they don't know anything. It's like the mm-hmm. kid that told me just a couple of weeks ago, you know, that I have to drive around in that old used car. And my dad just got himself a new BMW. And I'm like, you mean with his own money and with the car you're driving, which I think he bought? I don't think you know anything what you're talking about. You're actually going to tell your dad he's not handling his money right. So, you know, you just don't want to give that any kind of credence. So wait, mm-hmm. make sure that you are hearing a criticism. Don't defend yourself. Because for most of the time, it's just, I got this really cool thing at this house and I got the moderately cool thing at this house. Fine, whatever. Unless you mm-hmm. hear directly, just try to be happy for them, even though it's from that woman that, or that man that, I get it, but this is their parents.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I know firsthand that can be really difficult. And I think in situations like that, I don't know how people get through things like that without their faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that Christian parents, especially, pray more during instances like that, because it is hard and those things can be triggering. And I know that we've got an episode coming up where we'll talk about triggers, but that can be an especially triggering situation for single parents during the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sadly, I think you're talking about a resource that Christian parents have that we often don't do. I mean, I just, you know, you're right. Prayer can be, knowing that this is under control, that this is a part of a plan, is hugely comforting. I can probably count on two hands the number of times in the really hard times that I've prayed enough to really, I mean, we just panic. It's ridiculous. So it's a resource that if we would take advantage of it, yes, it's there for us.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Let's switch gears a little bit and move to the situation of a blended family. Maybe you have older children from your first marriage, and then you and your current spouse have had children, and it changes the dynamics because some of the kids go away. Some of the kids are at home during the holidays. Let's talk about some specific situations that go on then.
Well, if you've got a situation where you and your current spouse have no children together, but she has hers and you have yours, or, you know, or he has his, then that's almost easier in some ways, in that you probably already worked out how we handle the visitation schedule so that they're all gone at the same time and back here, you know, that kind of working out. And then you obviously try to blend the same thing so that they're all here at the same time for Christmas or for the holidays, and then they're at their other parents for that. The hardest one is when you have your own children in this newer marriage, and virtually always in that situation, that means your teenagers are the former, you know, the children from the former marriage. And now the difficulty is they can really feel like I'm visiting my, it's very often a dad and his new family. Because dads, nothing against dads, but they do have a bad habit of not really setting the tone for the new family. It's the mom that sets the tone, and it feels to the kids like, I don't remember us doing that before. Why are we all of a sudden doing this? But it happens at both households. So you want to be careful about what to do to keep your teenagers from feeling like they're visiting they're outside the central loop of this. And that, you know, your new family is the big family, is the real family. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So part of that is because these littler kids you have all the time, and then they just kind of drop in. So I think it's important to think about what do you do that, number one, take realistically, it's never good to just pretend that, no, this is a great new, this is just our family. This is, you can get away with that with a young cop, but your teenagers are going to know that this feels a little different. Don't be afraid to address that. Like, hey, so you're not going to be able to get here until the 28th or, you know, whatever. So, and I know that might feel weird for you. Give them the chance to say so rather than, you know, a kind of a weird manic, you know, everyone be happy. Christmas can bring out the weirdness in a lot of people of, you know, we are going to have a great Christmas, damn it. And everyone enjoy themselves, you know, and you're like, wait, that seems wrong to me. So, you know, I think it's a matter of what things you might be able to do to recognize that whole family with the when the teenagers are with you and your younger kids. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's important. And that's something that we do with our family is, you know, we just communicate with our older kids and, you know, our teenager and say, hey, you know, you're going to be gone this year. What are some things that are important for you to do at home? Because, you know, I am the mom. And so we have tons of traditions that we do throughout the Christmas holiday. And I am that over the top, extra cheesy mom. so we have like a ton.
I noticed you are wearing a Santa hat right now. I don't know why.
So we have a ton of them. And so I just, you know, check in with them and take inventory like, hey, what's important for you to do at home? You know, with
you mean of the traditions we do, like which ones? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great idea. And again, if you're doing the communication stuff that planned emancipation allows, you can really have those conversations. How do those go? Do they actually answer you?
Oh yeah. Like they'll tell me for sure. And especially like on the Christmases that they're gone and when they're coming home, okay, you're coming home on the 28th. Like what, you know, and I'll kind of ask them like, what do y'all want me to cook for y'all?
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
Sometimes they want a big traditional Christmas meal, which is totally fine. You know, we'll just had Christmas meal twice, you know, my husband and I and our little ones, which they're not opposed to. I mean, like, who doesn't love that? You know,
I would like
twice, right? Or, you know, like, they love my homemade lasagna, or, you know, this, this soup that I make. And so I just ask them, like, hey, you know, you'll be coming home on the 28th. What do you guys want for dinner?
What's so good about that is that I'm going to guess that some parents will ask that and be surprised by what their teenager values, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, these things have been going on since they were kids, and now they look like they don't care about anything. But I think, you know, sometimes it might be surprising what they tell you.
They do. They do. I mean, you know, like, decorating Christmas cookies, like, that is a must. And so I know that all nine of us will be together decorating Christmas cookies, and the date may change, but that is something that we will do as a whole family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they may opt out of the picture with Santa at the mall.
Right.
Your teenagers may decide that they can they can do without that.
Hey, this year Santa's behind a plexiglass wall anyway, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, you probably want to let him opt out. I think Santa doesn't want your teenager
sitting on his lap.
Ow.
That can be for the younger kids. You can do that before I get home, Mom.
Good. That's very good.
You know, Ashley and I talked a little bit about this on an episode that we have over on Patreon. And if you are not already on Patreon with us, click the link at the bottom of this episode show notes, and you can get in touch with us that way. It's a really fun group of people who have decided to support this podcast and support us and the work that we're doing. And we provide extra content for you over there. And we did a great episode on holiday traditions and how to really connect with your teenagers during the holidays. Things change as they age and they get older. And we want to keep the bonding and that relationship and the fun that we have together over the holidays.
That's good. For those that want to dive deeper. Mm-hmm, that's right. Really true. That's very true.
I got a quick question for you. So let's take it from the perspective of a step parent. Maybe you're the step parent. Maybe this is one of the first years you've done this, or this first year that you've had the kids for the holiday, or whatever it is. What is an important thing as stepmom or stepdad to keep in mind in discussing with your teenagers, particularly if they're not your own children and you don't have teenagers already, and you're kind of navigating this whole thing for the first time?
I'm so glad you asked that. So I can tell you this: good step parents know, especially with teenagers, know to never press yourself as the new parent or the better parent substitute. The ones that are beloved and really are taken on as, you know, you're really my mom or you're really my dad, are the ones that were communicated perfectly open to, look, I'm not trying to be your mom. I'm not trying to be your dad. But I want you and me to be close if we can be. So you never push it. Oh, I hate when someone demands. Now you have to call her your mom. Like, teenagers are like, oh, I'm not going to do that. You know, they'll make a control battle. So you definitely, number one, do not in any way try to replace the other parent, even if it's a bad parent. Mm-hmm. You try to be a really good step parent. And when you do, and number two, that means that and I think this is particularly true for stepmoms. If you're really good at this holiday thing and you've married this guy that's great, but he's kind of a slug when it comes to this stuff, you do want to talk to him about how does he feel about if we go and decorate like this and if we do that thing, make sure he's comfortable with it as well. Because a lot of times, and the reason I'm saying he is because men have a habit of just kind of going along with what she does. And teenagers can kind of, especially if you have a daughter, can tell that he's sort of, you know, is just, she's now the main family maker, and it can feel even weirder. So it might be worthwhile for some step parents, especially step moms, to actually kind of cut it back a little bit if he is worried about this being overdone, so that you kind of follow along and respect what's already been there with your spouse and their kids. And avoid the, I'm going to swoop in and make a magic thing out of this family that it was an awkward start, but now it's just like we've always been together for all these. No, it's a blended family. We're going to make it a really good one, and you're going to be an excellent step parent without trying to push yourself into a role that you're not.
Mm-hmm. And we touched on it a little bit earlier when we were talking about, you know, just making sure that you're, when your kids come home from an ex's, that you're doing the things that are really valuable and important to them. I think even as a step parent, you can have that conversation with your step kid and say, hey, you know, what's important to you that we do over the holidays, where you find out, you know, and get their feedback instead of making this thing your own, you know, is really get their feedback. Oh, well, I've always wanted to do this, but maybe you start new traditions and new things that you do as a blended family.
That's good. But, and do that at least with their dad sitting there.
Yes.
And no impression of, well, you know, this is between you and me and you know how your dad is. That's never good. So yes, yeah, I think that's a really good idea.
Well, I know the holidays can be hard and I hope that, we've helped answer a few questions about blended families, about divorced families, and the holidays. I hope that this has been helpful to you guys. And thank you, Ashley. And thank you, Dr. Ken, for always being available to answer my questions and talk with me about all this.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.